Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raider fake the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Raider to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, we'll recap the week in baseball. Also, the bowling team competing in the NCAA tournament this past weekend. Track and field was back in action, competing in Oxford. But we're going to start with our very special guest. Excited about this one from the A-State men's basketball team, our buddy, Isaiah Nelson. How you doing, Zay?
Good. How's your day going, man?
Great. I'm just kind of wondering, do you ever have a bad day? See you smiling.
Yeah. I would say my bad day starts waking up in the morning. It's kind of hard waking up, but then just thanking the Lord for waking me up and going through the days. Why can't you be mad?
It just takes you a while to thank the Lord, right?
Yes, sir.
You got to hit the snooze a few times.
Right. A couple times, twice the max.
I love seeing your interaction, though, with our fans, and you've turned into a fan favorite over the last couple of years just because I can tell you enjoy that experience every bit as much as the fans do. Where does that come from?
If I'm being honest, I really don't know. Coming here to A-State my freshman year and just seeing how many like people used to come to the games and stuff, I would just be like, dang. Well, let me just thank all the people that came to our games. And then now it's just like
it's getting harder to do.
Yeah, now it's like a whole bunch of people just in the crowd screaming. I'm like, wow, like it's crazy how the atmosphere changed from just 1 year, and now it's just like you got to say thank you.
Beyond that, and I didn't know we would get there so fast, but I figured we'd get there at some point in time. Beyond just being a fan favorite, sort of a subset of that, you're unbelievable with kids, and I really say that as a dad more than as somebody that works there or somebody, because I mean, I just see like your interaction with my kids. So like, where does that come from? Is that because you're still, you know, to a lot of people, to us, you're a kid too. So yeah. I mean, like where does that come from?
So growing up, I was the youngest. Then we had my little sister, and then we had got my cousin's little sister, and we had her since she was like a little baby. And so growing up, I would always come home and she'll be there. Every time I would hold her, she threw up on me. Like, I wouldn't get mad, I'd be happy. And I just like, dang, I love kids. Then growing up, she's played around me, stayed with us, and I just fell in love with her. And then...
What's the age gap?
10 years. If you see her, she's kind of tall. She's pretty tall.
Well, I believe it.
But if you see her, you'll think she's 16 years old because she's been around, like, 18-year-old, 19-year-olds growing up all her life. So it's just like, she gonna act like us and do everything we do. So being with her made me, like, love kids. And then her friends coming over, and while I'm on a game, they'll jump on me, and I'm, like, playing with them, get off the game, play with them. And then, like you said, like, your son, my high school coaches, they all got kids. And then, like, me hooping and stuff, they used to always just come to me. And then, like, that just make me happy to be like, all right, once the kids love you, then that's when the family be like this, okay, he's interacting with my kids, he's a good guy. So he must be like a sweet and kind guy. So that's where I always start from, like starting from the kids going up.
Tell me about the rest of your family. I know you have a very supportive family, and it starts with your mom.
Yeah, so I got my mom. My mom been in my life my whole life. Growing up, I didn't have no dad. So when I was younger, I used to play football. Everybody used to tell me I was going to be an NFL player. Then I had my older brother. He's 22. And then my older sister, she's 23. She just turned 23 on March 21st. And then I have another younger sister. She is 18. She just turned 18. She finna graduate high school. Then the little baby sister that's 10 years old, she finna go to sixth grade.
So five of you.
Mm-hmm. We all stayed in like a three-bedroom house. My mom had her own room, and then me and my brother shared a room. Then my three sisters, they all shared the room. It's crazy because nobody would ever thought I was going to be D1. And playing for college and not having my mom have to pay for college. And then my brother, he's in the Marines. He actually leaves for Japan in October, like in the beginning of October. So he going to be gone for like, I think he said a year or two. I've been having that on my mind. Then my sister, she has a niece. She just had her baby, and she is finna be one in May. she's finishing up college with her daughter, and then she'll be moving down here soon too. And then my little sisters, they all coming up here with my mom when she moves down here.
Well, that was where we're going next. We talked about your mom, and you kind of tipped it off. There's news about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the people about that.
So, yeah, my mom, she'll be moving down here to Jonesboro June 1st. So, y'all, everybody that loves seeing Isaiah's mom, y'all go see her a lot more at the games.
That is fantastic. Yes, so you get to have her around. Mm-hmm. She's moving. I guess she's been in Marietta. Yeah, this whole time?
Yeah, we've been in Marietta like my whole life. We started off when I think I was like some months old. We lived in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then once my dad had went away, that's when she had moved to Marietta with my grandma.
Okay.
And so my grandma had stayed with us for a little couple years. And then that's when now my grandma, she stayed with my auntie.
Yeah, I remember going to Georgia State this year. Just all the family you had in the stands. It's extended family to come watch you play. I know that had to mean a lot.
Nah, yeah. It means a lot. Like, I love my family. Like, that's one thing, like, that I just can't live without. Like, last year during the season, we had practice. Practice had went, like, long this day. I remember going down to the locker room and then just, like, looking at my phone and then my mom calling and texting me, saying some, hey, when you get the chance, give me a call. And, like, my day, like you say, I'm always happy. I'm always smiling. Like, my day was going good. Practice went good, and then when I'm getting ready to leave, one of my coaches, Coach Cruz, he comes downstairs and is like, hey, have you called your mom? Now I'm, like, concerned, like, oh, snap, like, why does my mom want me to call? So then I'm like, nah. So then he told me to come with him, and he'll take me home and stuff. So I'm like, okay. So when I get in the car with him, I call my mom, and my mom, she's just sitting on the phone crying. I'm looking at her. I'm like, why are you crying? Like, what's wrong? What happened? Everything okay? And then she had told me that, like, my grandpa was, like, on the verge of dying. He's at the hospital right now. He's going to sleep, then waking back up. Then they said it got to the point to where he was dying and then coming back to life, then dying. At some point of time, he just, like, just died. It hurt me bad because we had just got back from the Dominican Republic, and my grandpa, I still have the text and everything. He had texted me. He had said, hey, good job up there in Dominican Republic. You got to tell your teammates to start passing you the ball more in the post. And I was like, I got you. I'll let him know. And he had told me he loves me and that he missed me. He can't wait to see me. And I was like, I can't wait to see you too. Him sending me that text and then, like, not even a week, I think it's like 2-3 days later, my mom calling and telling me that he died. It just really hurt me. So now it's just like every time I go out there and I'm hooping, I just, like, all the empty seats, I just think of him in every single seat. I just got to put on a smile every day because I don't like people knowing when I'm, like, hurting or I'm upset. Then I don't want them to think something's wrong with me. I just want everybody to know that I'm a happy person and I'm going to get through it.
I got a feeling you sort of segued to it because I was getting ready to ask. The next thing I wanted to ask is kind of who along the way were those kind of male figures, those father figures for you coming up?
My main one was my grandpa. As a kid, you don't want to listen to the grown-ups. You want to listen to yourself and stuff. But then once I got to, like, the age of, like, 15, 16, then I started to, like, get closer and closer to the real world. I started listening to him more, like, taking everything that he told me growing up. I started taking that stuff in. And then losing him, it just really hurt me. So that's one. And then I have my elementary football coach. His name, Coach Kilroy. He did so much for me that I can't even imagine. Like, sometimes I wasn't always the best at everything. It was just God's gift. Like, he just gave me the talent to do these things and to prosper in life. So when I grew up playing football all my life, I played for this team that was close to home. And then we had played his team, and then he liked how I played and stuff. So he called my mom and told my mom, was like, hey, we really love your son. Can y'all come and play football for our team next year? So my mom had told him, he was like, well, because where they played football, it was like 30 minutes from home. And my mom really couldn't make that drive because of work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he would always come down and, like, pick me up sometimes. Or my mom would drive me up to his house, and I'd stay at his house for a couple of days and practice and stuff. And when it's game time, I dang near live with him. And so I can still call him, and he'll answer the phone, and he'll always talk to me, check up on me, tell me what I need to do and stuff like that. He always used this one model that I always, like, I will forever remember and I keep in my head while I'm playing. He always said, know your role, do your job. And I just keep that in my head. I just do what I get. I just do what I need to do, and everything else is simple.
It does sound like you've had some very positive people in your life, and I appreciate you sharing all that. One thing I have noticed, and you brought it up a couple of times, is how you played football growing up. You didn't get into basketball till later on.
Yeah, I used to play. So where I'm from, like, we had like a thing called like the rec league where you just pay $10 and then you on the team. So I used to play like that, but me and my brother used to always be on the team. So I used to be like, all right, this is just for fun. Like, it's not real basketball. And then I got to like sixth grade. Like, I wasn't taking basketball serious. I was still in the sports of playing football, taking football more serious. I was just playing basketball because all my friends played it. So I just got in with them. I was never that good. And then when I got to high school, my freshman year, these are my other coaches that like that are up there with me, like that I love to death and would do anything for. When they seen me, they was just like, because I was 5'5 in eighth grade. Believe it or not.
What?
That's what. Yes. That's what I'm glad you're kind of.
I was gonna ask when the growth spurt was.
Go ahead.
So yeah, in eighth grade, I was 5'5. Everybody was taller than me, and I'm just like, dang, I'm gonna be short my whole life. It's crazy. And then like going into my freshman year, the whole summer, I don't know what happened, but my mom told me that I used to just sleep, eat. Start of freshman year, I'm 6 foot, and I'm like, dang. I'm taller than everybody now. The varsity high school coach, we had got a new coach. I was in the gym playing basketball with my friends, just chilling, having fun. Then he had called my name, told me to come over. His name, Coach Hood. He looked at me dead in my eyes, no laughing. I'm just up there like, oh my gosh, I might be in trouble. And he just like, son, what's your name? And I said, Isaiah Nelson. He was like, Isaiah, you're going to be great in basketball. You're going to go to school for free. You're going to have a scholarship. And you're going to be D1. I was like, sir, you don't know who I am. I was just in there having fun, but okay. And he had told me to try out for the basketball team. I tried out, made the team. And I don't know about other places, but in Georgia, like, you don't have, like, a freshman tournament or, like, a freshman championship game. So it was just, like, some once you play all your games, like, your season's over with. So when my freshman season ended, he had gave me the chance to, like, dress up as varsity my freshman year. So I never got into varsity game as a freshman. I wasn't that good. But I was just tall.
You got the dress.
Yeah. I was just tall. So I got to sit on the bench with the varsity dudes. So I'm sitting on the bench with them, and I'm like, dang. I might can do this. I might believe this, man. I might actually be good enough to be playing with these boys in a couple years. So then that's when sophomore year, I hit 6'3", and I'm like, I'm still growing. My whole sophomore year, I'm 6'3" to 6'4". And then for when I got to my sophomore year, I went straight up to varsity, and I'm the starting center on varsity. He told me every game, he just said, go out there, do your best. You're only a sophomore. You got 2 more years left here. So just go out there and try your best. So that's what I did. My sophomore year, I wasn't the best, but I was good. So then that's when my junior year came, and now I'm 6'6". And now I'm, like, taller than everybody. That's when basketball started to, like, that's when it started to click for me. Like, now.
Had you dropped football at this point?
Yeah,
or did you keep playing?
I dropped football fully. Like, didn't think about football anymore. Now it's like everybody's saying something. If you keep this up, you're going to the NBA. I'm like, all right, bet. But that's my mindset. I'm like, all right, now I'm an NBA player. NFL no more. I'm an NBA player now. So my junior year, I was the man. Like, it was just like I was taller than everybody. So in my mind, I'm like this. Okay, I'm taller than you. So all I got to do is get the ball and put it in the rim. That's all I got to do. So then my senior year, I'm 6'8", 6'9". That's when my junior year summer was when I heard from Arkansas State. I was playing for this AAU team, Game Elite. I remember this like it was yesterday. We at McEachern High School, and we're playing in an auxiliary gym. It's like 3 courts. We're on the first court as soon as you walk in the gym. And then it's like the college coaches on the walls. They sit in there. I see Arkansas State, and it was a couple other Sun Belt teams. I couldn't remember. But I remember seeing Arkansas State, and it was Cruz and Scoot, Coach Scoot. So they was both right there, sitting right there, and they watched me. And this is the time when I used to could shoot a little bit, but I wasn't no shooter. So I used to shoot a couple shots, shoot a couple jumpers. They used to go in, unfortunately, but I was like, oh, snap, I can shoot now? So
well, I was wondering, because somewhere in there, I was getting ready to ask you, who was it along the way? Clearly, someone told you the only way to score was to dunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you played. Yeah. Like the only way to make a basket is to dunk. So it's interesting. I'm interested to hear that you shot somewhere along the way. Is that the dunked?
Yeah, and like in middle school, I used to shoot the ball. Like I used to like my shot was ugly, so I used to shoot it from the left side and just how Lonzo Ball's shot was in the beginning, like in the beginning of his career, like how you used to shoot it from the side, and that's how I used to shoot it because I wasn't that strong. I was always skinny, so I used to just shoot it from my side because I wasn't strong enough. So I just shoot like that, and it used to go in every time. And then once I started getting taller and taller, more and more coaches saying something, all right, you're too big to shoot the ball. You got to go to the rim and dunk the ball. And the crazy thing is, when I was 6 foot and 6'3", I could not dunk a ball. Like, I could not get the – like, I used to always, like, get hung, or I used to just miss the dunks every time. And then I didn't start, like – Dunking till my senior year. Yeah, really till my senior year, I started really dunking the ball because all my coaches saying, all right, bro, like you're 6'8", 6'9". You should be dunking the ball every time. When you get it, dunk it. And so now I just got the mindset, get the ball, dunk it. Get the ball, dunk it.
Well, it seems to be working okay. And you talked about being seen by Arkansas State, and you did come to A-State under the previous coaching staff. Look, when you came in, we see this kid who's 6'9", 6'10", that's really athletic, could jump out of the gym. I think everybody was excited about your ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even you would say you were still very raw when you came in that freshman year, right?
My freshman year, in my mind, I'm like this. Like, I know I'm better than this because I was averaging like 5 points and 5 rebounds. And I'm like, bro, this sucks. Like, in high school, I was averaging like 18 points and like 10 rebounds. And now I'm like, I'm looking at the average and I'm like 5 and 5 as a freshman. I'm like, there were some teams that like, they were good, but like in my mind and my body, like I felt like I was real life. Like, I'm better than you. Like, you're not good.
You're still learning though.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when it comes to the fouls and trying to stay in the ball game to
fouls,
where you can contribute a little bit more.
Me and fouls aren't friends. Me and fouls are not friends. I don't know, but it's just like in high school, I used to foul, but I would never foul out. Like, I used to get 4 fouls quick, but I would never foul out. And then like coming into college and meeting the refs and me trying to talk to the refs and them not listening, just calling fouls on me over and over again. I'm like,
yeah, that talking doesn't always work out.
No, it does not. But now, the rest that we've been getting, they've been really cool. They've been communicating. They said something, your body hit them. You know, we got to call that. I'll buy some, all right. So I'll be understanding sometimes when they call some fouls that don't need to be called, I get mad.
So that freshman season, though, one big learning experience I know for you. After the coaching change was made, there were several guys, including yourself, that I know said you're going into the portal.
Mm-hmm.
What made you come out? And take me back to that first conversation with Coach Hodson.
Me and Terrence, we were in Miami because it was spring break.
Terrence Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're just in Miami just having fun, spring break. We're just out chilling. And then we went to go grab something to eat. And then we was just like, dang, you think Coach go get fired? Like, what we going to do if we get a new coach, bro? Because we freshmen, so we never experienced like a coach getting fired. Like, we don't know what's going to happen after that. So me and him just talking about that, we hoping like that doesn't happen. And then like waking up in the morning and like he woke up before me, I'm still asleep. He woke up. All I remember is him running into my bedroom. Zay, coach got fired, bro. We got to go. Coach got fired. He's like, bro, we got to enter the portal, bro. And I'm like, dang, all right.
This is just out of fear that you won't have a place on the team anymore. Is that right?
Yeah, this is all like this.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but is that your thought?
This is scaring us. Like, I never played for a coach and then had to get a new coach out of nowhere. So I'm like I'm scared. So I'm like, I'd rather a whole new system of coaches than having the coach that I came here with get fired and then have to bring in a new coach to where, like, I don't know who he is. I don't know what kind of, like, is he going to give me a scholarship? Like, what is he going to do with me? I'd rather let other schools see me than take the chances of this guy giving me a scholarship or him coming here telling me to enter the transfer portal. So Terrence entered the portal before me. I had called my mom, and I'm talking to my mom. My mom was like, something like, do you want to wait and see what the guy got to say, or do you want to enter and see what you get? And I told her, I said, like, I want to enter it. I don't want to, like, I had built a bond with all my coaches. Like, it was like, so I don't want to feel bad for playing for, like, a new coach that didn't even recruit me or nothing out of high school. So then I entered the transfer portal. A couple schools called, but me being in the transfer portal, like, something in my body, like, it just didn't feel right. Like, me being who I am, like, I'm not the kind of guy to, like, say something and then do something else. If I say I'm going to stay at A-State, I'm going to stay at A-State. Like, I'm going to ride or die at A-State. So my body's just telling me, like, something. Don't leave if you don't have no good enough reason to leave. If Coach Hodgson was to call and I like it, go back. But it was like before he could even call and come back, before we left Miami, I had told Terrence, I was like, something. I don't think I want to leave Jonesboro, bro. Like, the community and the people here is just like, why leave somewhere?
This felt like home for you.
Yeah. So I told him, I said, like, yo, if Coach Hodgson call, all he got to say is he bringing us back, I'm staying A-State. But if he says that, oh, he want me to enter the transfer portal and do this, then I got to go. So me and Terrence had already in our minds, like, so let's just wait until he call. So I go home. I'm back in Georgia. I'm with my family. And I'm like, some dang, I'm not finna get no call from A-State. They done with me. So then I'm like, dang. And then I think it's like 9, 10 o'clock at night. Terrence texted me. He was like, some coach just called. I'm coming back to A-State. I said, if he called me, I'm coming back. He ain't gonna have to say nothing. I'm coming back right away. So then time keep going by. I'm like, some dang, this man called Terrence and he still ain't called me. I said, yeah, I guess I got to go somewhere else now. And then I get a call. I'm on the game. I get a call. And I'm like, who is this? So I answer the phone. It's Coach Hodge. And he was like, hey, Isaiah, this is a new head coach of Arkansas State. I said, yeah, I'm committed. I'm coming back, coach. Just make me an edit saying I'm coming back. Arkansas State my home. That's all. And he was just like, he said, all right, okay. Yeah, they already told me that they was coming back, so I'm coming back right with them. All right, yep, you ain't got to worry about nothing. I ain't going nowhere. I'm finna take my name out of the transfer portal right now. I'm gonna text the people and my name out. We good, baby. He's like, all right, bet, man. I'll see you when you come back. I said, all right.
That's a heck of a recruiting pitch.
Yeah.
I bet you were the easiest recruiting job he had.
Mm-hmm. I had to be. Like,
you and Avery.
Like, oh my God. Like, it was crazy. Like, he literally just called my phone and I had told him right away. I said, like, when you're trying to recruit somebody, you got to talk to them, say what you're going to do for them. He did not get to get, like, two words off. He said, hey, I'm Coach Hodge. I said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. He said, all right. And he said, and he got me to edit, and I posted the edit right away and came back.
What's been neat is watching you progress just during your time here. And Coach Hodgson made the comment many times throughout the course of the season, I've never seen anything like this either, but just the improvement from your freshman year to your sophomore campaign. I can't remember a player that showed as much improvement as you did from year one to year two.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Outside of a whole lot of hard work.
I couldn't even say it was hard. I can't even say it was really hard work. Like, I'm not the kind of guy to, like, go work out in the morning, work out in the afternoon, work out at night. I really don't like to work out, but it's just, like, last year, the coaches, like, other schools would say, like, he just threw me out there, and I didn't know what to do. I was just out there just running around. And so when I had heard that, I'm like, y'all don't think I don't know what to do out here? I don't belong here or something? So now I'm like, okay, bet. So I had that in my mind. Then confidence. Coach Hodgson came in. He just built a whole bunch of confidence in me. And, like, he was like, bro, you're going to be great. Like, you're going to be great in life. You're going to do things. You're going to change your family name and everything. And I'm like, bet. And then Cruz is another father figure in my life. I hated it at the time, but Cruz used to text me at 10 o'clock at night saying get your butt to this gym and let's get some work in. I used to hate it, but it made me who I am today. We used to be in the gym every night last year. working on my push shots, my touch shots, everything. I used to did not shoot no jumpers last year working out with Cruz. Every workout I had was on the shooting machine. I used to catch the ball, hook shot, catch the ball, hook shot, catch the ball, hook shot every single time. And he got it to where, like, now it's just like, all right, these are nothing. Like, these are easy. I can make these. Having that, transferring that over to this year, with the confidence that Coach Hodgson gave to me, now it just made me, like, want it bad. Like, now I want this. Like, now I want it bad. Losing my grandpa is, like, another motivation. Like, he was old, so he used to, like, he couldn't take planes or, like, the long car rides. So he used to always have to, like, either watch my game on TV or I used to have to go over to his house and tell him, like, oh, yeah, we did this. I had this many points, had this many rebounds, had this many blocks. So it was just, like, something now, like, that I know that he's up above and, like, watching over me. Now I just, like, I just, before every game, I just look up to the sky and I just say, this one is for you, Pa. Like, everything I do is for you.
Man, that's good stuff. All right, so we had a lot of fun this year. Not only did you show a lot of improvement throughout the course of the year, but the team showed a whole lot of improvement throughout the season. And the way you finished the season, and I guess all the way through the CBI, this team, you know, won 12 of the final 16 games. Mm-hmm. You had a really nice run in the Sun Belt tournament.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, because you have those really impressive wins over Lafayette and then the buzzer beater against Appalachian State. Getting that close, getting to the title game, you got a taste of it.
Yep.
How much does that motivate you going into next year?
A lot. I still think about it like, bro, we was right there. Like, it's unfortunate for somebody like to average 6 points, score 21 points in the first half. it's crazy, but
that's I still don't get that part.
Like, it's basketball, man. Like, anything can happen. But getting that feeling, it's just like your first Christmas and you get in a bike or you get in that PS5 you always wanted. You want it, and now you gotta have it. Like, now I gotta be yours. So now, like, next year, like, with the people that we're recruiting, I don't know if where they was at, if they made it to that kind of moment, but like that moment, now that's the standard. Like, there's nothing less. Like, we won 20 games this year. So next year, like, we want to overpass that. We want to win more than 20 games. We broke a whole bunch of records last year. Now we want to say even more and break all of our records that we just broke last year. So that's just the mindset that we all got. And coming into next year, like, we got to that championship. We know what we have to do to make it that far. And so that's what we got. Now that's what we got our mindset on. And that's what we go do.
So obviously there's the postseason and the run. But before we get too far away, like, I think I want our fans to hear how fun it was to play in that Troy game.
Oh, my. I don't think many people know, but before it even started.
You had a heck of a day, didn't you?
Yeah. I had a crazy day. I just got out of class. I went home. I showered, and I'm getting ready to head to shoot around. I had my girlfriend's cat, or I had her book bag, one of the two. And I had to go drop it off at her house. And then I had my teammate Julian with me. I make it to my girl's house. And then Terrence called me. He said something, Jose, can you come grab me from here? So I'm finna get ready. I drop the stuff off at my girl's house. And I'm finna go ahead and grab Terrence for shoot around. As I'm driving, I'm leaving my girl's house and I make a right. And when I make that right, my steering wheel like jerks more to the right. And so Julian tries to like, yo, Zay, 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 trying to help me turn my steering wheel back to the left. So I got in, like, fear. I'm like, yo, oh, my God, why is my thing not turning left? So I try to put my foot on the gas a little bit, and then me and Julian ran up a lamp pole and fell on the side of the car. We weren't hurt or nothing, thank God, but it was so scary. We on our sides. Julian's laying on top of me, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, yo, Ju, you good? You good? I'm looking around, making sure nothing is, like, leaking. I don't smell nothing. I don't see nothing. So we looking at each other. We like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Once me and him know that we both good, that's when we look at each other. We just start laughing. So me and him laughing.
While you're still on your side.
Yeah, we're still on the side in the car just laying there. So me and him looking at it, we just laughing like, yo, you just crashed your car. And we have And shoot around is like in 5 minutes. This is 155. We're like, bro, what are we going to do? Coach Hodges is going to be mad. We're not going to get in the game today. We're not going to get no minutes because he's going to say, why are you guys late? Da-da-da-da-da. So we get out the car, and we had to, like, exit from the top because we on our side. So we had to exit from the passenger door from the top. So I get out first. Julian's still in the car. Frats and sororities, a couple of them outside. They're like, oh, my gosh, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? And they see we're on the basketball team, and they're like, oh, my gosh, it's Isaiah and Julian. Oh, my gosh, are you guys okay? You guys have a game today. What are you guys going to do? I don't know how the world works, but it was so crazy because as me and him are just sitting on a car, I'm on the phone talking to the police, telling him, like, oh, I crashed my car. Our academic advisor is literally driving by. Like, she looks back, then stops her car, and then turns all the way around. It's like, are you guys okay? Do I need to call your coach? Yeah, yeah, call coach. Me and Julian, we not really caring about the car crash. We like, bro, we're finna be late for it's like a big game. We're playing on ESPNU. She calls the coaches, and then Coach Eisen called me. I say, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, we good. We good. He's like, Julian okay? I say, yeah, he good. He's like, where y'all at? I'm like, we right on the street by the Fresh. We right next to the arena. He's like, all right, Coach Buddies and Jamie are on the way. I'm like, all right, bet. Y'all boys hurry up and get ready for practice. We got film in like 5 minutes. We said, all right, here we go. So Coach Buddies and them, they come pick us up, and they talking to us in a car while we sitting there. We in Coach Buddies' car. I'm in the car seat, and then Julian was in, I think he was in the front seat. Yeah, Coach Jamie had walked back to the gym, and Julian in the front seat. So I'm in the car seat just sitting there, and Coach Butters looked back in the window, in the rearview mirror, he like this, crash your car. So now you got to sit in the car seat like a kid. I said, all right, bro, don't do this now. Don't do this. So we get to the gym. Me and Ju run in the locker room. We get dressed. And then Coach Eisen walk in. They thinking I'm finna be upset. Like, I'm in the film room. So I'm sitting there. I'm smiling. Like, dang, I crashed my car, but let's not let this affect the game. So now I'm locked in. I'm ready for the Troy game. And Coach Austin, he just come in there. He always smiling. And he always picking on me in the film room. So when he walk in, he like this. He tapped me on my shoulder. And he walked to the front. He like this. You want to know something? I never seen a guy crash his car and just come in here with a big smile. It's crazy. But let's get ready for film. Come on.
But then you get around to the game that night and the atmosphere just amazing.
Like, I just got to thank all the fans, like the whole team. That one was really needed. And it was just like that game just made us know, looking around, seeing all the fans there screaming every time we hit a three, a dunk happen, anything. And then seeing them bring back the red balloon, we was just like, it was amazing, like seeing that. And then after the game, going on social media, seeing some, oh, my gosh, that was the most amazing game ever. Most people we've seen in years. Arkansas State is different. All the good stuff they said about us, it was just, like, amazing. And, like, we're so thankful that there are people out here that still love A-State and is still supporting us and already, like, getting their season tickets ready for next year.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy. And then how all these kids that grew up in Arkansas that went to the University of Arkansas or went somewhere else to go play basketball, and they're seeing that, like, we're trying to get to the point to where, like we want them to know, like, Arkansas State, we here too, like, and we can do the same thing that they're doing even better. That's really what we're trying to do.
You know, there's a lot to be excited about. You talk about the guys coming in for next year, and there's so many guys that have already said, hey, we're coming back. Mm-hmm. We've seen these commitments coming in. Joseph Pinion, Rashad Marshall, they both committed here in the last week or so. You got a guy like Josh Hill that's going to help out inside.
Yes, sir.
Next year is going to be a lot of fun.
Nah, it is. It's going to be a whole bunch of dunks and a whole bunch of threes.
Well, here's the deal.
You're going to both of them.
Congrats, by the way, on being all tournament at the CBI.
Thank you.
Averaged 18 and 12 over the three games and had 25 and 15 in the semifinal game against High Point. Fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, people get really excited, and I know you see it on social media, when you make a three.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, We haven't had a lot of 6'10 guys around here that can shoot the three in the past.
Right.
And you see it in the NBA anymore. You see it in high-level college basketball where, yeah, there's that guy now that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You hit five threes this year. Three of them were in the CBI.
Yes, sir.
It's fun, I think, for everybody to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not shocking to me because I watch you in shoot around. I watch you in practice. You worked hard on that shot.
Yes, sir.
Is it something that you're going to be working on? Will we see more of that coming up next year?
Yes, sir. Like, I tell everybody every single time. They come to me, they say, Isaiah, are you going to give us a three? I look around, make sure Coach Hodges is not around. I tell him, I'll give you 1-3.
You got to make sure he's not around.
Yeah, because if he around, he going to say, he ain't shooting no threes. He not shooting no threes. But I always tell him, 1-3. We always get to agree on 1-3. They tell me, they say, it can't be no tired three or it can't be no contested three. But if you open, you can take it. I say, okay, and that'd be my one. I shoot my one. I'm like, all right, coach, that's one. He'd be like, all right, no more. And then I do the rest. But in the CBI tournament, when I hit the first three, I was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, I hit me a three. Hit my three in this tournament. And then I shot the second one, and I was like, dang, I missed it. That was the first game. Later on that day in the hotel, after the game when we had beat Montana, one of my coaches had told me, they was like this, yeah, Zay, when you shot your first three, one of your coaches was like some, that shot broke. I was like, oh, it broke. Okay. And guess who said it? Butters. So I'm like, okay. So I went to Butters. I said, Butters, you said my shot broke? Nah, I didn't say it was broke. I said it might be off. I said, nah, you said it was broke. You always call my shot broke. So I said something. So now, tomorrow, when we play High Point, I might shoot 3 threes, maybe 4, just to see you call these shots broke. It's like every time I say that, Coach Hodgson walk in. He like this, nah, you're not shooting no threes tomorrow. Dunk the ball, and that's it. I was like, all right, no threes. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm shooting them threes. I'm going to shoot them threes.
So have you and Coach Hodgson, though, talked about next year? Is that something he wants you to work on?
Yeah, he want me. Next year, I'll be shooting probably like 3 to 4 threes.
Let people know we're talking about tickets are already on sale.
Yeah.
And here's what people need to know. Headband Zay can flat shoot it.
Yes, he can. Headbands, they came out of nowhere shooting threes. Listen, y'all.
We're going to keep the hair short, too?
Yeah, I might have to, because everybody's saying they love Headbands, Zay. I'm like, okay, if I do something and somebody say I like it, I'm sticking to it. So when I said, all right, Headbands, Zay's here, and everybody liked that, I said, okay, Headbands, Zay here. All my teammates, they like this. Hey, no, why'd you cut your hair? Because I was in the locker room. This is the day against High Point. I seen Freddie with his headband on. I said, Fred, bro, you really inspired me, man. And since I'm bald now, I don't have no hair, I'm going to wear a headband. We're going to be the headband gang. So then that's when our other teammates was like something.
Avery wore one.
Yep. Avery wore his headband. We had to convince Avery to wear it because Avery's like this. Nah, I don't. You guys, I can't wear no headband. We like this. Come on, Avery. Come on. Just throw the headband on. And so he put the headband on. We all started screaming. We said, we in the locker room screaming, let's go, Avery. So Avery like this, all right, guys. I'm only doing this one time. He was like, all right, that's all we need. So it ended up being me, Fred, Avery, Taryn, Dre, and Julian. We all wore a headband during the Montana game. And we thought we was just going to do it for that one game. Like, I had took the headband off because I started. When you wearing a headband and you sweat, the thing get cold. When you get to sit down and you sitting down for a long time. So it's got to get it cold. So I said, nah, I can't do this headband stuff. So I said, no headband Zay no more. So then the High Point game, I'm like this. Nah, I got to bring headband Zay back. Headband Zay back. And I'm going to shoot some threes. Headband Zay. So I told Butters, I said, Butters, listen, I'm sorry, man. You know I love you, Butters. But, man, I'm shooting some threes today, bro. This is the game to get us to the championship. Because I had seen a comment on Twitter that somebody was like, we are 3-0 with Isaiah hitting the three.
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay. Okay, yeah. And I know they seen it. So I'm like, okay, yeah, with Isaiah hitting the three, we 3-0. So, boom, started a High Point game. They went on a quick little run, a 9-0 run, I think.
Fought back in that game.
Yes. Yes, we did. That was a tough one. So, when we came down, so we down 9-0, and we coming down, and I'm like, I'm at the top of the key. I don't know how I got there, but I'm always, y'all always gonna see me at the perimeter. I don't know, don't ask me how I get there, but I get there. So I got the ball and I shot it. I looked at it. I was like, this is off. And it went in. I was like, oh, snap. So my family, I have family in Orlando. So like all my family members from Orlando, they all drove down and came to see me play. So when I hit a three, they all started screaming. I'm like, just yeah, okay. Yeah, I just hit me a three. Okay, okay. My teammates on the bench, they cheering. I'm like, oh, they like, well, snap. I'm like, okay, okay. And I look at Butter, I'm like, yeah. And now we're getting our momentum. Cause we had been off for a week. So we coming into the tournament, being off for a week and practicing here and there, it was kind of hard. So we had to hurt. So we tried to get our second win real quick. And so then I'm in the corner. I don't know how I got to the corner, but I'm in the corner at the three-point line. And then somebody driving. They driving it. And I'm like this. Oh, because we got this drill. It's called penetrated kick. Somebody penetrated. And when they penetrate, you got to lift or they'll hit somebody in the right corner. So I was the person lifted. So I said, all right. I think D4 drove it. D4 drove. Lift. And somebody was closing out. I was like, oh, dang. Let me hurry up and shoot it. I shot it. I'm like this. Dang, it's off. And then it went in. I said, yes. Yes. That's when everybody was like this. They was like, oh, snap. Did Isaiah just hit two threes? He 2 for 2 now? I said, oh, my. I'm running back on defense. I'm like, yo, I just hit another three. Oh, my God. This is crazy. This never happened because usually if I shoot a second three, I miss it.
He was about to shrug like MJ in the 92 finals.
So I'm like, yo, this is crazy. I just hit two threes in a row.
Guy blocks over 70 shots this year. How many dunks did he have, Caleb?
Close to 100.
And he makes two threes in a game, and that's the highlight, right?
Right. Highlight of every play. If I'm in a game and Isaiah hits the three, that's the highlight. Because it was crazy. Because I remember hitting the first three at Georgia Southern. Everybody was like, yes, we have another shooter. And I went into practice. I said, yeah, coach, I'm a shooter. He said, Zay, listen, you hit 1 3. You're not a shooter. I said, all right, bro. I believe in my shot, man. He's like, I believe in it, but just not right now, okay? I said, all right, I got you.
So listen, what's going to happen? I sell that Mitchell's tickets are on sale now. To borrow a wrestling phrase, this is not a prediction. It's a spoiler. The lower bowl is going to sell out. So if you went in on some of that, you need to, call. You'll go to astateredwolves.com/tickets or call the foundation 972-2401 because that's going to happen. So get in before it happens to you. Get those tickets and get ready for Headband Zay and all those other shooters and dunkers.
Yes, sir.
Zay, this has been a lot of fun, buddy.
Thank you. We are thrilled
that you're here at Arkansas State, thrilled that we've got something really exciting going on with this program, and can't wait to see it next year.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a movie. Everybody, y'all need to be in the gym because this one right here, we got something in the makings for y'all.
That's Isaiah Nelson joining us here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group. More to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast presented by the Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. The A-State bowling team is going back to the Final Four. They win the Rochester Regional over the weekend, and it's neat that they're going back to the Final Four, but just as cool that They did it by knocking out the team that beat them in the national championship match a year ago as they took down Vanderbilt in the regional final.
Came from behind. You lost the first portion of that match. I don't know if we'll get into kind of what that mega match looks like, but we lost the first portion of it. You had to win the next two. Won the second portion to get it to basically the best of seven Baker format, which is the same they use in the national championship match. Vanderbilt actually won the first game of that. Was up 1-0. Then we won the next three, and I'm sitting here thinking, ugh.
No, no.
We're up 3-1 on Vanderbilt.
And we've been here before.
You know what happened? We just won the next one, finished it off. How about this, too? You know, there are four regionals. 18 teams made the NCAA tournament. Four regionals, two of the regionals, including ours and Rochester, had a play-in match. So okay. That's where the 17th and 18th teams came from.
Yeah.
So there are four regionals now. Those regional champions are the four going to Detroit. We are in bowling, and we're a member of Conference USA. And so are the other three teams that won regionals.
Same conference.
Conference USA has all four teams going to Detroit this weekend.
What a powerhouse.
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
This A-State bowling team is certainly the powerhouse, and we'll have another opportunity to try to win a national championship coming up this week. The Final Four will be in Detroit, Allen Park, Michigan, to be exact, and they'll face Youngstown State in the first match at the national championships coming up Friday morning at 8 o'clock.
This is going to be interesting because one of these four teams is going to go 2-0. And they're going to be bowling for the national championship. And the other three teams, this event's going to be double elimination. It's not for the team that goes 2-0, which Arkansas State was the team in that spot last year.
It's the third time those three seniors, Emma Stoll, who was on the podcast last week, being one of them, that they've been in this position now. And you heard how passionate Emma was last week about trying to get back and how much she remembers that match last year against Vanderbilt. They're ready to win a national championship, and hopefully we're right back here next week talking about just that.
Man, it would be so great. I mean, I want them to win that thing so bad. I told people for years, even back when you know there weren't that many teams bowling and still even four teams or whatever, maybe eight went to the tournament. I was like, hey, if you don't think this is a big deal, they're going to hand someone at the end of this a trophy that looks exactly like the one they gave somebody at the end of the Final Four in basketball. It's identical to it. Just has a different sport on it. It's a big deal.
Can't wait to see what the girls do this week. Again, it's Friday and Saturday in Allen Park, Michigan, as the A-State bowling team goes for a national championship. And hopefully, finally, they can get over that hump coming up this weekend.
Hey, by the way, that match against Merrimack, I believe, the second match in the regional was just unbelievable. The second match on Friday. You know, you bowl these two portions that were all, you bowl the traditional portion, and that's 1 point. And you bowl the Baker portion, and the total of five games is 1 point. If they're tied 1-1, then you go to this best of seven Baker thing, like the national championship matches. In the midst of that, they actually tied a game at 2-14. So now, at the end of seven games, it was 3.5 to 3.5. So now the tiebreaker was tied, and they had to do a one-frame roll-off, or basically just it's like essentially like you're tied going into the 10th frame, and you wrote everybody on your team bowls the 10th frame, and whoever's got the most wins. That's how we advanced to the regional final. Basically had to have a tiebreaker for the tiebreaker.
That's very dramatic, especially in the position that those teams were in. To be able to advance that way, that's big time.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our our programs stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities, make a monthly commitment, and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. This is a tough stretch for the baseball team. They're playing 7 out of 8 on the road, a stretch that started this past week against top-ranked Arkansas. Red Wolves falling in that one this past Tuesday, and then they went to take on a tough Troy team on the road over the weekend, falling in that series, and hopefully they can bounce back this week. They will be at home on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, first pitch against Little Rock. That's the back half of the home-and-home series with the Trojans. And then,
and that's weather permitting.
Is it looking rough for Tuesday night?
Tuesday's not great. I mean, you actually go through a stretch like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are all not real good around here. So if you're listening to this, you know, on Tuesday, you maybe know by now. But as we're sitting here recording this, yeah, not a super forecast.
And then at South Alabama this weekend, they'll be in Mobile Friday at 6:30, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1 to take on the Jaguars.
There's a lot of stuff I don't get in sending a team to Troy and South Alabama on back-to-back weekends would make the list of things I don't get.
A lot of time in Alabama, but it's the one time during the season where the Red Wolves are on the road back-to-back weekends, and, you know, they'll have the back-to-back home series as well, but it is very strange that those are the two schools you're going on the road against in consecutive weeks. Track and field was at the Joe Walker Invite in Oxford, Mississippi this past weekend. Several event winners, including Rahel Bromel, she won the 800 meters with the fourth best time in program history. She was also the top collegiate finisher in the 1500. Josh Jones wins the 400 meter hurdles, and Menachem Chen wins the men's discus. And the track and field team will be competing in two different events coming up this weekend in California.
I know you're talking about people that won events. Another steeplechaser actually finished second over the weekend with the seventh best steeplechase score in school history.
Cadence Lapp.
Was Cadence Lapp. And I just thought, man, what a great name for a track athlete.
I like that. She's got a second P on there.
Yes.
But we can pretend it's just one.
It's pronounced the same.
I like it. Women's golf finished as the runner-up at the ULM Invitational this past week. They actually had a better score in that tournament than the host team did. They beat ULM. Sam Houston ended up winning that event. But a good finish for Coach MJ Dabian Shaw and the women's golf team. They're now getting ready for the Sun Belt Championship, which will be April 15th and 16th in Clearpoint, Alabama. Speaking of golf, the men currently competing at the Tiger Intercollegiate. That's in Columbia, Missouri. That is their final tournament before the conference championships.
Yeah, that's Missouri Tiger, not Tiger Woods. Don't get too wound up.
The tennis team dropping matches at Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina this past weekend. They'll be on the road again this coming weekend as they travel to Atlanta to take on Georgia State. Then they'll play at Troy. As we wrap things up here, we've got some stuff on the horizon here coming up, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend with Pack Day, the spring game, baseball, track and field, all kinds of good stuff going on.
So I'll kind of, by the time you're listening to this, I would assume we probably have a press release with all this out. But let me kind of roll through what that day will look like. The 20th, so a week from Saturday is Pack Day. And we, as you mentioned, there are four home events on campus. And it starts like at 9:30 Saturday morning. Track and field is hosting its home outdoor meet. They're actually calling it the A-State Alumni Classic because they have a bunch of track and field alumni coming in to help run the meet.
Okay.
A bunch. And they're having a function with them Saturday night and all kinds of things. So there's a bunch of track alumni here to help run the home track and field meet that day. The first event on that Saturday will be at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, tennis is playing its final home match, and track and tennis are at the same spot. Both of those sports on those days are also recognizing their seniors, kind of senior day for both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at 9:30 and at 10. The spring game is at 1:15. But before that, there's a lot of stuff going on at Centennial Bank Stadium. Like we did last year, we're going to have several food trucks set up in the parking lot. Different varieties. Hand-picked wide variety of foods. Big Hijinks Kid Zone set up in Tailgate City. As we're sitting here talking, there is not a gear sale. People always want to ask, is there a gear sale? There's a couple reasons why. And believe it or not, shockingly, there's a lot of red tape you got to cross to have one of those. So it's tough to do every year. But here's what there is. Textbook Brokers is going to have the team store open. But not only are they having the team store open, you know, if you've been by there, you're familiar with what they do. There's typically once or twice a year where they have a big sale that they have to have out in the parking lot. Usually they'll set tents up in the parking lot because they put up stuff on huge sale. Well, they're doing that at the stadium on Pack Day. They're bringing all that stuff over and setting it up on the sidewalk outside the team store.
Okay.
And everything they've got, it's going to be at least, they say everything's going to be at least 40% off.
Wow.
So big chance to get some Red Wolves gear at
Great
the team
chance.
Store. Also, Coach Jones, and I'll give credit where it's due. He called me with this idea, asking me what I thought, and I said, heck yeah. 2 hours before the spring game, Coach Jones is going to have our players out leading a free youth football clinic.
How
on
cool
the field
is that?
At Centennial Bank Stadium.
That's awesome.
So if you go to astateredwolves.com, you find that press release I'm talking about. When that press release is out, if you find it, there's also going to be a link to click to sign up. It's free, but you can sign your kid up. At least that gives us a general idea of how many are coming. You also can walk up, but we would encourage you to sign up just for a sense. Registration will be at 10:30 that morning. The camp will start around 11 and go from 11 to around noon. Well, in the midst of all that, probably in the 11:30 neighborhood, probably back over in Tailgate City while the youth camp is going and winding up, and just about 90 minutes or so before the spring game, we're going to have a couple of guys out visiting with us in Tailgate City, and a tent we'll probably have set up out there by the names of Blake Groupie and J.D. McKissick.
Two of our all-time greats coming in for the spring game.
And we'll have them out there. You know, they're going to sign some autographs, do some meet and greet out in Tailgate City. And then the spring game at 1:15.
Mm.
And then A-State baseball versus App State at 4. And then, by the way, also, when the spring game ends, the players will do, and we did this last year too, Coach Jones will bring the team in. When they finish up talking, they'll spread out across the field in kind of position groups. And then the field is open for folks to come down and get autographs.
Love it. I don't know if you can pack anything more into Pack Day.
Well, we thought we had a lot going on last year, so we wanted to at least try to match it. It's different stuff. I mean, there's some different elements, some things that happened last year weren't able to happen this year, and then all of a sudden we got some new things in their place, and
I think
it'll be a fun day.
Blake Groupie and J.D. McKissick, I think people are going to be really, really excited to see them back on campus, and a couple of proud former Red Wolves.
Yeah, right? A couple of guys we need to get on here at some point. It's funny. I'm just going to say this, and I won't get too deep into it because he and I haven't had this conversation, but it's funny that I think because he's been gone a minute and because most of the people he knew from a coaching staff and even a lot of the admin sort of cycled through and aren't here anymore, I think JD thought maybe that he didn't think it would be a big deal for him to be around, that nobody knew of him or would want him around. And that turns out that's not correct.
Yeah. He thinks wrong.
Yes,
there are a lot of people that will be very, very excited to see him back on campus.
Sure thing.
So can't wait to see both of those guys back. And, man, what a great day. Saturday, April 20th at all the athletic events we've got going on. That's going to wrap things up for us. Hope everybody enjoyed the eclipse. Look forward to being back here next week to recap another big week in A-State athletics. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.